Blog Talk Radio. Look at you now.
Hey, do you have anything on you?
Diarrhea of the mouth. So,
yeah, makes sense.
I feel the need. Now, but the only thing about it is the topics that we discussed, Chef Rob. I can't really offer any definitive answers to this stuff because it's so systemic, it's so ingrained. I can only see one way out, and I don't think it's a good idea to put that concept out there because I know the people aren't ready for that.
Well, before you get into that concept, let me just go ahead. I want you to go ahead and elaborate. But the thing is we're just basically having a conversation, and so we can stick conversation. Let people know how we feel and our point of view. If you come back and let me know.
That is the idea from the first time throughout the
work for our situation. Say it again.
Yeah. I took that as the concept from the first time that we had the conversation about doing this,
Right.
That we were going to put our opinions out there. But like I said, I'm feeling a sense of revolution. I'm feeling a sense of revolution and responsibility. So, yeah, and those, I just don't want things I guess I do want things to get buck wild, but I wanted to get buck wild with a purpose, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay, so you need to go back up. So what were you saying you wanted to do? Because it was something I want you to go ahead and deal with. All of the pain, the pulpit pimps and these guys, the pain profiteers, I call them. Always speaking on our behalf, but ain't willing to go ahead and really do nothing. I saw Tavis Smile in Cornell West on TV earlier today, and man, I was busy. I wish I could have really took notes and listened to them a little bit more. But I just don't see them doing nothing. And they're just out there making profiting off our pain. I want to give you a little bit of your thoughts and your views on them.
I guess you didn't. Here we go. When you brought up this concept, when you brought up the concept of poverty pimps, pain profiteers, I think that's what you call them.
Right.
First person that came to my mind is Jesse Jackson, but I guess Tavis Smiley. I'd hate to put Cornell West in that basket, but if you say he fits, I'd be willing to listen. But like I said, the first one that comes to mind to me is Jesse because I honestly think that Jesse had a chance to continue a movement, and he chose to do other things.
Let me elaborate a little bit, and this is brief. The only reason I call them poverty pimps, the reason I go here and I criticize Tavis Smiley and Cornell West, because basically one of the biggest ways that they gain fame is going ahead and talking about issues that's going on in the so-called black community.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I go ahead and say, that's why I go ahead and I disagree with them. I call them poverty pimps, and they're not really doing anything. I really feel that they're irrelevant also. But, I agree with you what you were saying about Jesse Jackson.
Yeah. Well, now I'm trying to figure out, okay, forgive me. I seem to be stuck on this, Barack Obama thing. My money, as far as black people are concerned, he's the best thing we got going. Only from a sense that, his achievement. And I think it's very necessary for black people to experience achievements that they haven't achieved before. Now, like I said, I've always made the comparison when I think about, I'm not going to get into the argument of what he's done, what he hasn't done. I'm going to deal with the simple fact of his achievement. And I always relate that back to the Jackie Robinson situation. For the time period, for what was going on during that era, Jackie Robinson was the best possible representative of black people as far as baseball was concerned. Because, we had, obviously there were better players. Josh Gibson was a prolific home run hitter during that period. Satchel Paige was one of the best pitchers on the planet. But, from my understanding, their personal lives were such that they would have drawn criticism, especially bringing them into this lily white sport known as baseball, where everything was supposed to be so hunky dory pun intended. Everything was supposed to be so hunky dory and puritan, also white. So in order for a black man to be able to exist in a situation like that, he'd have to be somebody that was able to deal with the racism that he was obviously going to run into. He'd have to be someone that would not make it difficult for other blacks to follow him. And that's the way I look at Barack Obama. He's achieved this situation, but I'm looking at the second, the third, the fourth, and fifth black presidents to come along to, you know, finally, you know, get the gains that black people actually
deserve. Wait,
hold on real quick.
Who do you think would be in line to be that second, that third, that fourth?
That's the problem. I don't see anybody in line. But then again, before 2004, you know, other than in the state of Illinois, no one had really heard of Barack Obama. I knew him because I'd been hanging around, in Hyde Park. You know, that's why I knew of him, you know. So after 2004, he burst onto the scene. And I'm hoping, you know, someone in the same vein will do the same thing, burst onto the scene and take this situation a little bit further. That's why, you know, I'm extremely reluctant to criticize. Of course there are things that he hasn't done. You have to be stupid to suggest that there weren't things that, I mean, because, hey, black people have been whole. I mean, how long have we heard, you know, not now. Wait a little bit longer. Not now. You know, we had to fight to be free, fight to defend this country, which is crazy to me, you know. They only used us when they needed us, and then they wanted to, you know, they gave us the weapons. They gave us the weapons, and then as soon as the war is over, they tried to figure out a way to take the weapons back from us. I mean, that's something they didn't even do with the Libyans. So, you know, why would they do that with Americans? But, you know, so I'm just saying, you know, I'm expecting the gains that black people deserve not to come with this president. I've always felt that way. Now, his advancements is breaking the ceiling. He's done that. Now, as far as the advances that black people need to continue to exist harmoniously, I mean, you know, you want to get ugly with this stuff. It's long past time to get ugly. But I really would hope that we could resolve this situation in another manner. Of course, you know, if there is no resolution, then we go to the Malcolm X thing by any means necessary. See, so, I didn't expect that in the first presidency. It'd be ludicrous to think that you were going to get those kind of things from the first African American president. Please.
Well, yeah, I see your point, and I see how you go and tie it into Jackie Robinson.
Right, right.
Yeah, I see your point. Yeah, because looking at his story and stuff like that, he couldn't come out. He really wasn't for a whole lot of stuff.
Right. He was a military man. He had been, you know, entrenched in the system. I don't want to say brainwashed, but I guess I already did, huh? He was entrenched in the system. He was from the system, and he went into baseball, and he grinned, and he bared it. I mean, you know, every place you go. You know, that's when it became obvious that, you know, as far as the South is concerned, I think Jesse Jackson or Martin Luther King stated, the South begins south of the Canadian border, and that's still true to this day. Everywhere he went, you know what they called him. I hate to use that word. You know what they called him. You know they tried to make his life difficult, and the average black man, me included, would have blown up, and it would have probably taken 50 to 100 years for another black man to be a baseball player. But because of Jackie Robinson's performance, there were black ball players that came into the league the very next season. Larry Doby, for instance, and so forth and so on. So,
hey, wait, real quick, you know, I'm gonna tap into that a little bit. You know, we'll talk a little baseball. The thing I'm looking at with the Negro Leagues, because what I saw was the Negro Leagues had better players,
yeah,
and they were about to go ahead and blow up a little bit because they had much.
Which is why Branch Rickey thought it important to bring black players into the American League, because the Negro League was starting to steal their thunder. When the exhibition game showed the advance of black talent as far as baseball was concerned, but. You know, go ahead. What's your thought?
Yeah, that's the only thing I was pretty much saying, because I just see that they were much, much better. They were better athletes. So that's why they had to bring them into the American League. They were looking to go ahead, and it was about ticket sales. You know, it's about money, bottom line.
To quote the late, truthful Jimmy the Greek Snyder, hey, we were bred for that shit.
Yeah. I saw that, man. I was like, well.
We were bred for it. I mean, you know, we were obviously going to be better athletes if we were given the opportunity. That's part of the reason that, you know, Branch Rickey wasn't doing black people a favor by basically his his acceptance of Jackie Robinson as a member of the American or the Major League Baseball situation was actually the death knell of the Negro Leagues. Okay, so now black ball players can play in the major leagues. The Negro leagues are now insignificant. They're now no longer necessary. But the Negro leagues were the draw of that era because they had the better ball players. And when you're dealing with sports, you want to see the best that you can possibly see. I mean, that was the problem that the NBA had. You know, they were running around saying they had the best players in the league. And at that time, the first question was, well, what about Dr. J, Julius Erving? You don't have him. How can you say you're the best? And so forth and so on. I mean, you know, NFL, you say you got the best players in football, yet Herschel Walker plays for the USFL.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody is outstanding in the field and you saying that you have the best and this player's play proves that you don't, you know, your claims become invalid. And that's always been true for any team, any league that desires to remain lily white. If you don't have black people playing, then you don't have the best players.
You know, I'm trying to go here. I want to tie this into science real quick.
Okay.
As much as we can excel, you know, it's because we were bred to go ahead and excel in sports and okay, working like a mule.
Mm-hmm.
You think we can go ahead and be a little bit better with the sciences? Because what I was saying was before was that, hey, like, during slavery, did all the work.
You know the history of your people. Who taught them the sciences that they know?
Exactly.
Where did they get their knowledge?
Exactly.
So, you know, the sciences, I mean, you know.
But how do we get that knowledge?
Matters.
How do we get back on top on that? You got any thoughts on that?
I've already expressed my thoughts as to how we can get back on top of that. The only way that you're going to, first of all, you have to take that back. No one's going to let African Americans, the dark, no one's going to let you realize from whence all knowledge has come. If they know the truth, why would they tell you? Now, that's a Gil Scott Heron quote. They know the truth. Why would they tell you? You know the truth, and I mean, we're talking about the mind here. Why is it that you think that they're constantly trying to drum into your head how stupid you are, how unintelligent you are? Why is it that they feel the need to constantly suggest to you that they are? I mean, they've developed all types of studies which make absolutely positively no sense, since they've drawn all of their knowledge from you since time immemorial. How are they going to turn around and then continue to tell you that, you know, you're not as intelligent as them? You can't be as intelligent as them. Why did you profess that point? If that was truly the case, why would you tell someone that? No, I mean, you would just continually prove it, and then the issue would settle itself. But that's not the case. I mean, and once again, I go back to the brother that sits in the White House. I mean, if you listen to the political discourse that is happening in this country now, it actually, you know, from their perspective, it sounds stupid. It really does. It sounds unintelligent. And then his brother speaks, and because he speaks from the heart, you know, he tells the truth. And that's where all knowledge comes from. Knowledge comes from truth.
I'm stuck on something. That Dr. King said that, because a lot of people seem to peg Dr. King as a punk, but I only recently found out that he wasn't.
You only recently found out?
Yeah, within the last like 5 years. Because all you hear is listen. Because all you really hear, you hear his speeches, but you hear the ones that them control and them small ones. If you hear the whole speeches and then go ahead and listen to some of his other stuff, he's like, no. He wasn't like that at all. He was a whole lot different. So I know some other people feel the same way, because that's how we've been. You know, that's another one part of that brainwashing thing. But when you said that Dr. said the South begins south of the Canadian border,
right?
explain that a little bit more, because I had never heard that.
Okay, well, I mean, the message is in the words.
Okay, so
everyone's always suggesting that there's a difference between the racism in the South and the racism in the North. Racism is racism. The suggestion that I've always heard is the racism in the South is more overt, more out in the open, more in your face, whereas the racism in the North is more covert, behind your back. The adage that I always that always makes me smile is that I've heard it said, I can't remember exactly where, that in the South, you can get as close as you want to. You know, you can live in the neighborhood with white people. You may not be able to eat in the restaurants with them, but, you know, you can live in the neighborhood. So you can get as close as you want to, just don't get too smart. And in the North, the adage was, you can get as smart as you want to, just don't get too close. We don't want you living in our neighborhoods. You know, and that it always tickles me how, especially our city, since we both grew up in Chicago, as our city is always highlighting the ethnic diversity, which means that you have a certain amount of people living in this neighborhood, they're from a certain ethnic group, or and then you have people living in this neighborhood. That's just part of the separation process. You know, that's all that is. They don't want you living in their neighborhood, so they flood their neighborhood. They inundate their neighborhood with their quote unquote own kind.
So is Tavi, back to Tavi Smiley in Cornell West.
Don't let those brothers disturb you too much, man. I mean, you know, at this point in time, you know, from what I've heard Tavi Smiley say, and from what I've heard Dr. Cornell West say, they want more action out of this black president. And that's exactly what, unfortunately. See, because you're operating within this system, and since that's the way that that we've always been told to do it, you know, you don't want to change things from the outside. You want to change it from the inside. Okay, this brother's change is in the inside now. He's deep in the inside. As a matter of fact, he's so deep in the inside that he's showing you how little power that all of the other presidents has, because he's trying to exercise his power, and they're trying to castrate him, figuratively speaking.
Mm.
You know, we know they're not above literally castrating him, so I have to make that distinction.
Mm.
But you know what they're asking for? They're asking for the impossible, because it's not going to happen. I mean, would you really want him to be? I mean, doesn't it minimize him if you make him the quote unquote black president? Isn't he supposed to be the president?
Mm.
I mean, it's obvious that all of the presidents previous to him have been the white president, but they've never referred to themselves that way. They've only referred to themselves as president, as he does. See, but Tavi Smiley and Cornel West and Jesse Jackson, for that matter, you know, it wasn't too long ago, right before he was elected, that Jesse Jackson suggested that Barack Obama has let the white politicians, was the word he used, castrate him? No, cut his balls off is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that statement?
Yeah, I remember that. They kept playing the clip
right.
A lot.
Exactly. So, you know, like I said, do you really want him to come in there and undermine his own authority by becoming the black president? I'm asking a question. You know, because, like, you know, like you said, we're talking here. I'm hoping that through conversation we could come up with some, you know, solid ideas to resolve some of the issues, to actually make a difference. But as it stands now, all we can offer is opinions, and you know the adage about opinions.
Well, I always say opinions are like assholes, and everybody got one?
That's the adage.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions like assholes, everybody's got one, and they're all full of shit.
Yeah.
Is how I think it goes. So, you know, I'm glad this guy's president. I'm glad he's acting like a president. I realize, I'm just hoping that something will be done in my lifetime. But then again, him being elected was something that I'd never thought that I would see. So now, like I said, now that he's come in, and I think he's handled himself admirably under the adverse situation that he's been faced with. So now I'm looking forward to the second president, the second black president, the second African-American to become president. I don't even like the term black president because it suggests something, you know, less than the other president, you know, like he's the president of the black people. No, he's the president of all the people. And at some point in time, especially after we elect that second African-American to become president, then even white people will have to understand, oh, no, they're president of everybody. Like I had to accept George Bush. I had to accept Richard Nixon, you know. I had to accept these people as presidents, although I know I had to accept Ronald Reagan. And once again, another Gil Scott-Heron quote that comes to mind. So the governor that declared, you know, what is it? The governor that declared war on our college campuses is now supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that, you hear about all of the Second Amendment things going around, the NRA, the right to bear arms. Well, wasn't it Ronald Reagan who took arms from the Black Panther Party who were trying to protect themselves in their own neighborhood? He made it so they couldn't carry arms. Where was the National Rifle Association there? These are American citizens who are not being allowed to bear arms to protect themselves in their own neighborhood. No outcry from the National Rifle Association about that. So, you know, I mean, it's like double. It's always been this double standard, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We have to get away from the double standard. There's, you know, one standard for all of the people. That's what the Constitution was supposed to be about. And since we are no longer, I mean, since we are no longer on paper considered to be 3/5 human, then it's time for the double, it's been long past time for the double standard to end.
Brock's getting some of that double standards, too.
Huh?
Brock is getting some of that double standards, too.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. I've been watching politics since Kennedy. I could never
talking to you a little bit, I kind of lighten up on him because I was kind of rough on him, too.
Okay. I'm just trying to understand the situation. Being the first, okay, it makes me think. Damn, how were things for George Washington when he was the first president? First president of the United States. Because it's my understanding that there were presidents of the Continental Congress. Actually, there was a president of the Continental Congress that was black. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, there might have been more than one. Some of the brothers deep into the Morris sciences hit me to that. I can't remember the brother's name right now, but it'll, you know, I can find out about it easily enough. Just make a phone call, and I can definitely research it and come back with you, come back to you with that the next time we have a conversation. But yeah, you know, that's you know, a lot of brothers and sisters are hard on Barack because this world, this country, has been so hard on them for so long that they hoped, you know, okay. We got somebody in there that understands and recognizes our struggle. Maybe some things will change. And for all intents and purposes, there hasn't been much change. But one change that has happened, you have to accept the fact that that a brother with African-American blood in him, and I guess it no longer takes one drop, huh? A brother with African-American blood has risen to the highest office in this land. You can't deny that anymore. And that's why I'm hell-bent on getting this man elected for a second term, because that will make him just as good as at least George Bush and any other president that's ever been elected to the second term. You know, with the exception of Dick Nixon, who probably stole both elections. And Dick Nixon, once again, pun intended.
Hey, you know that they're going ahead and they're rigging the elections right now as we speak, right?
Trying to, and see, I love when evil or bad fails, even with their most valiant attempts. There have been situations when they haven't succeeded, and I'd like for this to be one of those times. Yes, I know they're trying to, you know, basically take us back to the '60s. You know, the only thing is they don't have white people in masks visiting you in sheets visiting you at your house, telling you if you show up at the polling place, they're going to shoot you. They're a little bit more covert with their stuff now. You know, they're trying to do this state ID thing. Well, you know, and I know that in some instances it's extremely difficult for those who would vote to get out and do the state ID thing, but I think this is worth the effort just to see somebody fail that's trying to do some dirt. You know, like I said, I got to, you know, you were talking about, you know, the double standard. To my knowledge, I've never heard of a president having to deal with members from the opposite party meeting on the day of his inauguration, planning for his demise politically. Let me express that. I mean, let me emphasize that. Political demise. Okay? I don't want to go into this conspiracy theory. We're going to be factual here. They met on the day this man was inaugurated, and they decided that he would not get a second term. So I just love to see that blow up in their face. You know, I love him, you know, and the thing about a second term that people have to understand that if this president is ever going to do anything, he's definitely going to for his people, quote unquote. And I would have no problem with that. I mean, there are things that we need to have done for us. But if he's ever going to be able to accomplish that, what better time than when he could never be elected again? I mean, I'd like to give that a try. He doesn't have to worry about being elected president again. He can only do, say, two terms. So now it's like, okay, well, all bets are off. I mean, what are you going to do to me now? I'm not going to be president again. You know, basically, isn't that what George Bush did?
Right.
He opened up the floodgates. Hey, I got my second term. I beat my daddy. I threw that little party in. I beat my daddy. I got two terms. He got one. So now I'm going to go buck wild. Double down on the war. Double down on tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. I'm gonna throw some prescription medicine out to the older people, but I'm not gonna pay for it. Ain't it wonderful when you can give somebody something and not have to pay for it?
Right.
So I don't remember anybody raising a fuss about that except for Barack Obama. When he had to come in and clean up the mess. So I'm sure he won't do that because, you know, he has that, you know, respectability thing and honor thing going for him real deep. So I'm sure that he doesn't want to leave the country in a bind like that, like Bush did. So I'm sure that he won't do that, but I'm hoping that, you know, somewhere along the line that he, you know, does something for all of those people who supported him. You know, for instance, what I would like to see, you know, the Voting Rights Act of 65?
Right.
It's an act, it's not a law. I think it should be a constitutional amendment. That way we stop all of this crap about state IDs. You know, hey, look, if you're a citizen of the United States, the one right that should be guaranteed by your beloved, divinely inspired Constitution is the right to vote. Guarantee that as a law as opposed to this act that they gave us in 65. You know, they did everything they could possibly do to keep it from becoming a law so that at some point in time they could do the stuff that they're doing now.
You know, somebody else there's been a few people breaking that down, that go ahead elaborating on that. I've been hearing that recently about people going into that after the 1964
Voters Rights Act, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've been hearing some people talking about it. And it's something
that Congress passed, but it's not a law. See, I want it to be a constitutional amendment.
Didn't they get an extension on that though?
They extended it, but see, it's still not law. It's an act, and like I said, I want to take it to the ultimate level, constitutional amendment.
Wait a minute, man. Hold on. You know, what disturbed me is all them black people in Congress, and they didn't make a fuss about it. Even Clarence Thomas.
I know that was satire. There, you're being cynical. I caught that. Especially what you meant to say was especially kept Clarence Thomas.
Right.
Y'all know she ain't gonna put up a fuss. or his new lackey, Alan West, the representative from the state of Florida.
Oh, the real smart guy.
Yeah, a real smart guy. Like I said, he's the brainwashing.
The one who has a higher security clearance than Barack Obama.
Yeah, the brainwashing took. I mean, he's a he's a military man. The brainwashing took, and it took quite well. He's the one that suggested that what is it, like 81 of the present Democratic senators are communists. So we're refighting that war now. I thought, wait a minute, make up your mind. I thought Ronald Reagan brought in. I thought Ronald Reagan didn't they give them? Oh, it was just that he ended the Cold War. Isn't that the ending of the Cold War? Isn't that suggesting that he basically ended communism as we know it? But we got 81 communists in the Democratic caucus. Make up your mind. Which is it? Did Ronald Reagan end it? You know, which I thought was crazy to begin with, or do we still have it? I'm not sure anymore. I'm so confused.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan didn't do that, man. Damn bullshit, man.
They sure gave him credit for it. It's like he went over there and tore down. He asked Mr. Gorbachev to tear down the wall. It's like he went over there and did it himself.
Yeah, he had picks and that other stuff, man.
He's the one that tore down the wall. Right.
Everybody's line is open. If you have a question, just go ahead and chime in. Okay.
Oh, we got people on?
Yeah, it's a couple of calls now.
Okay.
But it slipped my mind that they were there. I didn't open their line. But if they want to speak, a lot of times you press one if you really want to say anything. But I just opened the lines anyway after we were going to the little overtime thing.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I was something. Back a little bit. Barack Obama isn't the president of black people. Do you think we need a president of black people?
No. If black people were truly in control of this country, then being the president of black people would be a good thing. As we are still considered a minority in this country, being a president of black people basically diminishes the office. I like the idea of him being president of all the people, as much as they dislike it. That makes me like it even more.
But what I'm saying is like unofficially Jesse Jackson is, if you listen to some people, Jesse Jackson is the president of black people.
Really?
When was he
elected?
Like Jesse Jackson is our spokesman. If you can't flip through the TV news and listen to the radio without everybody going here, Jesse Jackson doing this and Jesse Jackson's doing that, it's like he's the president of black people. I say we need a president of black people, but we don't need him.
Okay.
So we need someone to go ahead.
Let's get off of Jesse. Okay. Why do you feel we need a president of black people? Why can't we just have a president of all people? Black people make up what, 14% of the population?
Yeah, roughly.
So why would I want to be president of 14% of the population when I can be president of the entire population?
I think you're missing what I'm saying. What I'm saying is basically we need leadership. Okay? Because
okay,
we
leadership
got
is a completely different issue.
Black people going in so many different directions and we're not unifying
exactly
to deal with black people and black issues. We've been assimilated to a certain degree into this culture and been integrated into this. We don't really know who we are as a people.
First of all, let me agree with you wholeheartedly.
Hey, is that you, Jackie?
Yes, it is, and we do not need a leader. I'm so sorry. We need to be educated. All these people need to get off of the radio and off the TV and off the news or wherever they at, whatever type of forums they have. Stop telling people to go vote. see these people vote and they don't have no education about what they're voting for. And for some reason, incumbent senators, they just stay there. And then you wonder why stuff don't change, because you're looking at the top, and you need to be looking locally at what's going on. And I think that we don't need a leader. We need to be educated, because every time we pick a leader, we just follow along with their ideologies. We don't know what they do. All these people that are talking about going to vote, I bet these people don't even know the last thing that their senators or elected officials, congressmen, voted for, what they stand for. They don't know, because they don't investigate these people. The only thing they know is, I'm going to vote for my black president. And that's what makes us look crazy.
Okay. Jackie, can I ask one question? You sure. Have, okay, obviously you have a DC that's probably probably necessary distrust for the political process. But you trust the, whose educational process would you trust at this point in time?
It's not a distrust for the process. I just don't feel like people are educated enough when they go to the polls.
Okay.
I went to private school. I don't trust public education either. So.
Okay. So what would you want them to be educated? What type of education would you want them to have as far as our political system is concerned? I understand. I agree with you about knowing what it is your senators and congressmen are doing. I thoroughly agree with that, wholeheartedly agree with that. But what would you want the uneducated masses to really know before they go and go and vote?
Well, I would say this. How can you hold your officials accountable if you don't know what they should be accountable for?
Okay.
I mean, when you go to the polls, you should know the people, everybody that's in every single race. I will admit, I live in Atlanta. When I went to the polls, I did move during that year. I moved from one county to another. But when I did go to the polls, I didn't know half of the people that was in those races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I ain't going to lie. I left it blank. I didn't vote because I'm like, I don't know. I didn't hear anything about anybody until maybe like a week before the voting was to happen. The only people that had little signs up in the neighborhood were the incumbents. And, you know, I think that people ask us all the time, why don't we have black people in the Senate? Why? We probably didn't know who they was. When you go to the poll, it's a picture next to the person you're voting for.
Why can't we get more than one? Would be a better question. I mean, because we've always been in a situation where if we had a dark face in the Senate, there's only been one. So as far as the political situation goes now, are you suggesting that you won't be voting this November? Are you suggesting you'll be voting because you're educated? Huh?
No, that's private. I don't tell people if I vote or not until after the fact. I haven't decided, actually. I know I'm going to vote locally.
Okay.
I will be
doing the local elections more important than the national elections?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm not one of those people that's hung up on, oh, we got a black president. I could care less what color he is.
It doesn't make a difference after 43 white ones? I mean, because,
no,
you know,
because
like I
every,
said.
Every
the next
president that we ever had a white mother, and I firmly believe you are what your mother is. So it makes no difference to me. He has a white mother. So he is not the black president. He is
the
half-white and half-black
president. Your father is. Right, okay. The one drop rule no longer applies, huh? One drop of black, for as long as I can remember, one drop of black blood and you were considered black. And I would suggest, it's my understanding that geneticists would suggest that you are what your father was, which is what white people are trying to say about Barack. So, I mean, they're not even paying attention to the fact that his mother is white. If they were, I don't
well,
think they'd
be treated
like
that. Well, I know a lot of people like that disagree with that, and they do believe that your lineage comes from your matriarchal line, and you are what your mother is.
Okay.
That was just... Okay.
Well, you're talking
yeah,
to someone that was raised
he wasn't
by his
even
mother,
raised
so.
With